everybody. Welcome back to The Breakdown. Fall is officially here. You can feel that chill in the air. If you're like me, you're probably missing summer, maybe even missing the humidity. I'm a weirdo that way, but yes, I love hot and humid. Some people say I should probably...
You live in the wrong state.
I should move to Florida,
you
right?
You live in the wrong state for sure.
And so with us today is Jamal, who has lived in Florida before.
That's true.
What was it like down there? What was it like to have a warm Christmas?
It was Florida.
It was Florida?
That's about all I got for you.
I
prefer the four seasons. I also prefer the people up here. It's not that the humidity got to me, but there's something about Massachusetts that I definitely prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do enjoy the changing seasons, of course, but my favorite season is summer.
No.
So I could go for that. But, you know, I've always said if I could move my family, my church, all my friends to a warm place, I'd go.
It's funny. I have said that after being in Florida for a decade, again, there's not tons that I really, like, would go back for necessarily. Mm-hmm. I love Holly's family. Some of my family's down there. But the deepest thing that I would go back for, like, if I could pick up HPC as a whole and move the whole thing down there, oh, my God, I'd live in Florida forever. It'd be great. But if I can't bring HPC, then we got
to
stay here.
Right. And so the Lord has seen fit to have us here and not in the armpit of America, as I've heard some people describe Florida.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Even though you know, I can't say that from experience, and I'm willing to try should the Lord move me
there. You'll try the armpit?
Yes, I would.
Pastor Zach talks about that all the time, going to where did he go? Southeastern, right?
Yes.
In Florida?
In Florida,
And loved
the promised land.
And then came here. So, you know, there's a balance there.
So there is a theme. So, but it's exciting to be part of what the Lord is doing here. If you are able this weekend, maybe you've already signed up for the Spiritual Warfare Conference.
Sure.
I will not be there. I'll be serving with the youth, but that's going to be a really cool time.
Should be awesome.
I'm looking forward to hearing about what people's highlights are from that.
Yeah. And so, at this point, there's a few hundred people signed up. You can still sign up.
There's still room.
But be quick about it, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. And how can people sign up online?
You would go to hpc.church/events. I only know that because I do the announcements. I had to pull it back in my head like, wait, what did I say on the announcement? So yeah.
Awesome.
Go to the website.
All right. Well, you heard it. So Sunday was great. And before we get into the message, there was something.
I just want to, hold on. You never ask me what I do here. You ask everybody else.
You've been on.
You did Holly a couple weeks ago and you're like, Holly, tell us what you do here. And she's been on before too. I was like, he never asked me that. He's so
I have
rude.
Asked you.
Wow.
All right. So Jamal.
Oh, never mind. Let's get into the word.
Jamal, other than being our resident gospel singer.
Wow.
To take us into the throne room. What else is it that you do around here?
I'm so glad you're my friend. I might have taken that offensively if you weren't my friend. No, I do a lot. Probably too much to say. Again, I teach. I do some SOS classes, some King's classes. I'm Pastor Zach's armor bearer / assistant and try to be his third brain. Ashley's probably his second brain. I try to be his third. And just keep all of that together. There's not much that I don't do around here. I do a lot. But I really didn't need you to ask that question. Dave, you can cut this out.
No. I love it. No, it's important. You know, God's gifted us with people. He's gifted us with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important for all of us when you come into church. We do it week after week after week. The temptation is always to just, it's another Sunday.
Sure,
but in the kingdom, there's no such thing as just another Sunday.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
There's no such thing as just another day.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing as just another person. Mm. You know, we are what Jesus died for.
Mm.
So when you see someone, say, wow, that is someone that Jesus died for.
Yeah.
And if they're living for Jesus, wow.
Yeah.
God has redeemed them. I'm so thankful that I get to worship them and thank you, Jesus, for what you do all every single day.
Yeah. And again, it's like, there's not like a necessarily, I was talking to a kid yesterday and I was like, you are so phenomenal. And he said, yeah, it's all Jesus. And I'm like, no, it's not all Jesus. There is something that you have to decide to cooperate in the process, right? And so even in the message on Sunday, as Pastor Zach is talking, there's a place that hell covenants with the world.
Mm.
And you've got to decide what you're going to covenant with.
Yes.
And so you know, we don't praise a person or worship a person because they have gifts and things like that. But I do. I was kind of shook by that. And I went back and I said, no, sir. You have cooperated in the process that the Lord is bringing you through. Amen. And there is some praise to be had there. There's something that I look at you and think, even there's part of me that wants to be like that, right? There are parts of myself that I haven't necessarily offered over to the Lord all the way, right? It's yes. The process that we walk through all the time as Christians is, Lord, I got to offer that one more thing. Oh, this mentality that I didn't even realize I had, as Pastor Zach is talking.
Like, yeah.
I've got to tear that thing down and allow the Lord to, quote unquote, deconstruct it in order for him to build on top of that space and it actually be something that's solid.
That's so good.
So anyway.
So good. So good. And we're going to get into the message. But there was something that Pastor Zach, I believe he brought it up in worship or before he got into the message. You can refresh me. But he was talking about how our worship songs, they're not about teaching.
Sure.
Right? And I've had some discussions with people since then about this topic.
Okay.
And it was cool. It was really cool to flesh it out. Yeah. So I hope you all who are listening, like, you've had discussions about it, because it's a really important concept,
sure.
A truth that Pastor Zach was conveying. So what does it mean that Jamal, how did you take it when he was going on that dialogue about how our songs, we're going to sing about God's sovereignty and how he's omnipotent, but it's not primarily about teaching, and we leave teaching to the teachers.
Yeah, I thought that it was beautiful, number one, in an apostolic way. Like, it's just the apostolic way of our house. We're going to leave the prophecy to the prophets. Now, again, Pastor John would say that we're a house of prophets, like we're a sons of prophets, right? And so that the whole house should be prophesying. And I agree. But there is something that the teachers pull out. There's something that Pastor Kurt does when he teaches that is meant to be a different thing than when we're just in worship. And so I say this all the time, Luke, this is probably where I went, is the concept for me is that as a worship leader, my main job is to get you to worship Jesus. That's it. When every voice in the room, or most of the voices in the room, start lifting up their praise to Jesus, whether you're singing the same words as me or not, mm-hmm. means absolutely right. nothing to me.
Right.
When you start singing to Jesus, my job is done. Mm-hmm. I have nothing else to do. So I'll hold the room and hold the authority in the room and make sure that there's a space made for the presence of God, that we're not quenching the Spirit. However, you're supposed to then step out in that, mm-hmm. in your love, in your way of seeing him. And I say this all the time, like, there's something beautiful about the full counsel of the Lord, that when you say Jehovah Jireh, it means something different than when I say Jehovah Jireh, because the deficiency that we've both had, he has provided for you in a different way, right? And so I was teaching Pentateuch class this week. I know this is, I'm sorry,
no,
I'm like,
perfect.
I'm gone.
Keep going. We're here for
and
it.
Excuse me for the cough, ladies and gentlemen. I have a little bronchitis, so just pray for me. But I was teaching in Pentateuch this week, and I thought it was so. It's such an interesting place how different people see the Lord, and how he has created each one of us to see him in a different way. When Abraham says Jehovah Jireh, there is something so profound about that, because the reason several times already we've seen the reason why Abraham and Lot have to separate is because he is filthy rich. Like, rich, okay? What does he need the Lord to provide ram for?
Right.
He doesn't need that. But because there's a place of deficiency, because the Lord has created a space for him and he actually is sitting in the space, the Lord gets to prove himself as something different than Abraham has ever experienced before.
Right.
Even though in our minds, why would he ever even need that? And I think that so often that's what he's trying to do,
mm-hmm.
that we're upset about the deficiency in our life. And he's actually trying to say, I just actually want you to know me better.
Yeah.
I want you to know another side, another place of me.
Right.
And when we get to that place and realize, okay, how Luke knows Jireh is different than how Jamal knows Jireh. Right. And if we can pull those two together and we're you're saying gyra and I'm saying provider, not even the same word. Essentially, you get Genesis 11:6, which Pastor Zach talked about, I think, last week or the week before. Genesis 11:6, that he says they speak one language and they are one. And anything that they put their mind to, Zach, remember this, 11:6 is our birthday. Keep up, brother. Like, okay.
Was this on their podcast? I think it might have been on
I can't
podcast.
Remember where he said it. I heard it somewhere recently.
Yeah.
Yes, I think
he was
so.
On the podcast.
Because he was talking about Genesis. Yes. He's like, I think it's Genesis 11, but it's 11:6.
A to Z.
Specifically, yes.
Our house.
A to Z. Go listen to it. It's so good. But I think that there is something so beautiful when the people of God get together. I believe the Lord is saying the same thing now as what he said at the Tower of Babel. The people are one.
Yeah.
And if they can speak the same language, they right. can accomplish anything.
Right.
That is the goal in our worship here at HPC.
Oh, that's so cool.
Is that yeah. we speak one language. We're saying different words, but we're speaking one language, and that's praise to the King.
Because it's
and
a we matter can do anything. Of, it's a matter of our heart. And,
yes,
and
sir.
Worship is I'm getting my heart to face the King.
Yes, sir.
I'm connecting with the Holy Spirit that God has filled me with, and I'm facing him. And when we're all do, this is how I'm hearing what you're saying is like, when we all do that, that's worship.
Yes, sir.
And so the words are important. Like we sing what is true. You know, Jesus says your true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes, sir. And I tell people,
yes.
if you don't believe what you're singing, I tell you to pause.
Yeah.
Now, there are times where I would tell you to push through and sing it even when you don't believe it. But most of the time, my concept is that you need to stop and pause, right? Because we're transformed by the
don't
renewing
just
of our mind.
Sing. Yes.
So I don't care what words are coming out of
correct.
Your mouth just because they're up on a screen.
Where's your mind?
I need you to transform your mind. Mm-hmm. And that way because we here at HPC measure success
yeah.
by the transformation of lives.
Amen.
That's what we got. That's all we do.
Amen.
Why are you laughing, Luke?
It's just because that theme's just come up so much
yes,
for
sir.
Me over this week. So,
yeah.
So the words are important, but they are to center our hearts.
Yes, sir.
And this is why Pastor Zach was saying, you know, there's some points in our songs that we're just singing, ooh, or you're saying, oh, and because it's not about I'm saying whoa, it's who is the whoa directed towards?
Sure.
What is the spiritual reality that I'm walking in?
Sure.
And when you're saying how, you know, like Jehovah Jireh, like my God provides, that manifests differently in each of us.
Yes, sir.
And Paul says like we are members one of another.
Yeah.
So it is important. This is why, like, yes, having personal prayer and worship time is important,
yeah.
but you need the corporate
yes, sir. There's
because
no,
there's
no,
substitute
for corporate worship. Yes,
there is
sir.
No substitute.
Absolutely.
Because we are designed to be there to receive from one another.
Yeah.
Because there are times in my life when Satan will come in and cloud my mind.
Yeah.
And I may even not be remembering all the times God has provided
yes,
for
sir.
Me. I might need to hear a testimony in that time or see how God has provided for someone else
yes, sir.
To then stir up the truth and the hope of the reality that God has provided and is providing
yes,
for me.
I say one of the most dangerous places to be in the body of Christ is only in your own head. The reality is that if you're going to do life and life more abundantly, the Lord said this to me before we moved back up here, you got to do it in community. It is the scariest place ever to only have the thoughts in your own head mm-hmm. to bounce off of.
Mm-hmm.
You will never actually grow that way
yeah.
when it's only your own mind that you're dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get some like of the classics. You got to get some like Shakespeare.
Yep.
You got to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
But then you also have to get the Pastor Kurt, the
right.
the Jamal. You have to get
right.
the Pastor Zach. You have to get the Pastor John and get the full counsel so that, again, everybody might be seeing the beach ball, I've used that analogy before, in a different way. And so what I see on my side, Luke, is green and white. And what you see on your side is blue and white. And if we did not know that it were the same thing, we'd be saying it was something different. Oh, mine is not the same color, so it can't be the same thing. When really, when we come together as a body, we're saying, oh, you see blue and white, I
right.
see green and white, Zach sees red and white. And it is a perfect picture. We actually have a full picture of what we're looking at.
Right.
And that's how we should look at God. You cannot see all of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. You need somebody else's perspective
right.
to make your concept of God bigger.
Mm-hmm.
so that you know that you haven't seen all of them.
Amen. Amen. And you know, it's so cool. As you're talking, I'm thinking about just when we look at our Bible.
Sure.
The different types of literature that God has chosen to reveal himself through. Yeah. Like there's poetry, there's historical books, there's even just books of the law. Like you can go, like you're teaching that.
Yes, sir.
And those dry books that we just kind of want to skip over.
Hey, don't call my books dry. Cool your jets.
Well, you know, like as someone, you know, I prefer, you know, the teaching of, you know, Paul. Like I gravitate towards that. But if I were to only stay in the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
And not go into the Old Testament, I'm missing more of the beach ball.
I'm going to let you teach my first week of class, okay? Because that's exactly what I say.
No way.
Everybody, when you get saved, and we'll get into the message, I swear. When you get saved, everyone tells you to go back and read Matthew or John. Mm-hmm. Most people.
John. I've heard John so many times.
Even Matthew is trippy, right? Yeah. Because Matthew uses so much Old Testament prophecy.
You need that context.
You have to have the context in order for it to mean anything. That's why Matthew is the bridge between the Old and the New Testament, because he's showing the Jews, oh no, this is the prophesied Messiah, right? However, if all you do is read the New Testament and you never go back to Genesis and understand in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then you see how he walks the thing out. When you see all of the miracles happen, when you walk through the chapters and the verses in Genesis, like we haven't even gotten to Exodus yet, right?
Yep.
We're just in Genesis. And when you see it, it ties so crazily, right? When you see Abraham and Isaac and him sacrificing his son, and that is a type of Jesus Christ coming 3,000 years later. You start to see the gospel as a different thing, as lined up all the way through.
See the continuity. You have to see it.
And again, it's some of the same thing that we're talking about. You see the continuity in the word between Pastor Zach and between Pastor John and between Pastor Kurt. You see the Lord lining up his word so that his people are all speaking the same language. Yes. We've had a shift in mentality and we're all speaking the same thing so that we're moving together in the same direction. And there are not a whole generation that needs to die off before we can get to the promised land.
Yep. No, that's awesome. That's so, so good. Actually, in my class, in my biblical worldview class that I taught on Monday night, we were talking about how obviously God was present in this process in directing people to solidify the New Testament canon. Like, how did we solidify these particular books?
Yep.
So in the year 145 AD, a situation came up that really got this whole thing going, this discussion. Because they had the letters of Paul, they had the letters of Peter, and the New Testament books were coming, and the church recognized them as these are authoritative. Like, Peter even says that Paul's writing scripture. There's a really cool verse about that. But there was this wealthy shipbuilder. I believe it was in Rome. His name was Marcion, and he said he was part of the church. Like, he gave the church a very large donation. And what ended up happening was because of this large donation, he had a lot of influence.
Yeah.
And then he had a very bad teaching that the God in the Old Testament and the God in these New Testament letters were two different gods.
Interesting.
And he set out to, he got rid of all of the Judaism books, all of the Old Testament. He's like, that's not part of this. And then he only collected some of Paul's letters. And I think like the book of Luke, and even those, he chopped out any references to the God of the Old Testament. And anything that had to do with the wrath of God. And so because
Luke, we are doing that today as a church.
Yes. Yes.
Like Pastor Zach literally was talking about that on Sunday.
Yeah.
That we are in a way of deconstructing. And I know that we talked about it in staff, that there were some people that seemingly didn't quite understand exactly the deconstructing concept.
Flesh it out for us. That's why we're here.
Not flushing it out. No. The basics, right? And Pastor Zach said this fairly specifically, right?
Yeah.
The concept in America, and I guess maybe other places, I know America is probably really famous for the deconstruction, right? But the concept in America is that we messed up religion, and so we have to break down our religion in order to build it back up the right way, okay? Pastor Zach corrected that and said deconstruction actually, and he wants to think that it's a good thing. He actually said this. He wants to think that the heart of it and the motive of it is good, but he does not believe that.
It's not.
That he thinks, again, as a functioning definition, that we remove things to make the gospel more appealing to our
to
flesh.
Our flesh, yeah.
Right? And so if you're saying real, quote-unquote, deconstruction, I can kind of understand that, because again, there's the concept that you have to tear down, mm-hmm. you have to root out,
right.
and then you build up, right? That's a right. Jeremiah does that over and over and over again, that there's two steps to the breaking down and tearing down. And I've seen that again over and over and over, even dealing with Victoria. It's like there's such an interesting right. piece that there are pieces in her life that I did not give her, mm-hmm. and I don't want them there.
Right.
So I've got to then take them, pull them, rip them yep. out, and root them out at the right. same time. And she is, you know, after the rip out, she's even more upset at the root out. It's right. like I'm still wrestling in that process. And then I've got to build in the thing that I actually want to be there. But I can't build it on top of a cracked foundation. And then we're messed up for the rest of our lives, because the foundation of the house, as we're yeah. me and Holly are looking for a house. And so as we go out with our realtor, Chrissy, I love you. You know, we talk about, has the house sunken at all? Because the foundation is not quite right. If the foundation has sunken, she literally tells us, run. Get
yep.
away.
Doesn't matter how nice it looks.
Not, it not looks gorgeous. How nice it looks. Yes, it's got tons of culture.
Yep.
It's got tons of
character,
like extra bits and character.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. However, if the foundation is sunken, you got to rip that whole thing up before you can do anything. Yeah. You've got to undo the work that was there. So I think that there's a place that we keep trying to, like he was, trying to deconstruct something. And the Lord, that actually is the Lord's position, as Zach talked about on Sunday, us trying to take up the space of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit right. is supposed to do the deconstructing.
Yes.
And I used to say that years ago, Luke, it's like the job of the Holy Spirit, right? One of his jobs is the convictor. Mm-hmm. I was so good at trying to be the Holy Spirit. I wish I had a church in here. Brother. I probably have said this to you, okay? Me and you had this conversation.
Yep.
I was so good
mm-hmm.
at convicting.
Yep.
At least I thought. I was actually good at condemning. That's actually what I was. I could walk by a building and say, you shouldn't go in there. And I was walking by people and saying, you shouldn't go in there. Even to the Holy
wow.
Spirit,
wow.
I'm walking by people and saying, you shouldn't go in there. That's a lost cause. Mm-hmm. That'll never work. And I had to find myself, the Holy Spirit said that to me so clearly one day, you do not know how to do my job. Stop trying.
Oh, wow.
Stop trying. That's not your job. How about you do your job?
Right.
Get saved. Stay saved. Like,
amen.
How about you do your job? Stop, like, stop doing that. Stop doing the thing that I asked you not to do, like, last week mm-hmm. that you keep doing. I wish you would stop trying to convict them and be convicted yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I wish would happen. And I'm telling you, it's like, it's that crazy part where when Pastor Zach said that, I thought, it's so interesting that, again, we have tried to take up the job of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's his job to tear up and to root out.
Right. Right?
And even when we got back to the wheat and tares
yeah.
right, from the week
yes.
before, it's
yes.
so perfect.
Yeah.
That is the Holy, Spirit's,
Holy Spirit's
job is
yeah.
to do that. Our job is to do what he asked us to do, toss it up to the wind, and let the Holy Spirit do the
right.
rest.
Right. And you know, this concept of deconstruction, it's funny because like, people will talk about it like it's this new phenomenon.
Sure.
It's not. It's
yeah.
been there. It's been there all along.
Since
right.
he was giving money to the
yes.
church, it's been there.
Exactly.
Yes,
and it's a motivation of Satan with the counter narrative, the covenant with the world. And what ends up happening, because yeah, there is the truth that I need my mind renewed.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit does that
yes, sir.
When I center myself in worship.
Yes, sir.
And he changes my mind. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come. He will guide you into all truth. He will comfort you.
Yeah.
And we become more like Jesus.
Yeah.
The difference with deconstruction is if I'm going from that platform, it plays out kind of like this. I don't like God as he is. I want to keep these things to myself. So I will create a God in my own image.
My goodness.
They may not use those words, sure, but that it is that same spirit, sure, of I am creating an idol unto myself.
Sure.
Where I am the arbiter of truth. Right. I am the one that decides.
I'm God.
Yes. Yes.
I become God in that, yes, situation, because I say what's right and what's wrong. And the places, and again, Pastor Zach was talking about this, the places that we consider to be wrong, we will harp on all day long. The places that we're like, God, we could pass on, like, that's okay. We'll let that one slide. We start to become God,
yeah,
in what is holy and what is unholy. How crazy is that? I mean, that is Leviticus, my friend. It's like, be holy, yeah, as I am holy,
yep,
but not be holy in your own way. If you don't want to get circumcised, that's fine, but I won't consider you holy. Right. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says you'll be cut off from your, right, people, right? So again, I'm not taking that as, you know, there are some uncircumcised Christians, you know what I mean? But there's something in it that if we want to lean into what God says, you just got to honor your mother and father. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a child of God, there's certain places that you cannot toss out. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And so many places, as they've been reckoning with their own mentality, have been trying to do that and lawyer their way, mm-hmm, into holiness.
Yeah.
You cannot. Jesus is the advocate that gets you into holiness. That's it. You cannot, amen, be your own lawyer, amen, and actually get into holiness. All you can do as your own lawyer is plead the fifth. Like, that's it, on the grounds, amen, that it might incriminate you.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's so cool. I've loved how this discussion has gone so far. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, Pastor Zach is basically just setting the stage. I'm so curious and
what we're coming
so
up to.
Excited, yes, to see what he's going to do,
yes,
because it's about the Great Commission, but, yeah, we haven't gotten to the Great,
yes,
Commission yet.
Yes.
He's talking about, you know, the context of that the Great Commission was delivered into is just as important.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, in Matthew 28, it talks about, you know, like the empty tomb, mm-hmm, and we basically spent the entire sermon talking about what is Satan's motivation,
sure,
and his game plan with this counter narrative.
Yeah.
And you know, the soldiers came back and the chief priests, the religious leaders, they're like, we can't have this truth of the empty tomb going out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to say his disciples stole the body.
Mm-hmm. I appreciated so much him going through, because sometimes we don't do this. We do this in Bible college, and so it's something like we go through. But most people don't understand the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get that there was like
fundamental,
yep, differences there.
Oh, very fundamental.
And,
yeah,
Pastor Zach did such a beautiful job, I felt like, of kind of pulling that out. Again, that the Pharisees, yeah, are all about the truth. I say this all the time, like spirit and truth, right? Mm-hmm. The Pharisees are all about the truth. They do not have the spirit of the Father.
No.
They don't carry that in their hearts. And so, yeah, you can be full of truth and still go to hell. Like, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But then the Sadducees on the other side, it's like, wanted to just, again, fit Jesus into their own deconstruction. He cannot raise from the dead.
Right.
So whether it happened or not, it's literally not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to just discount it like it never happened.
Yep.
We're not going to look into it. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to do any of that. And again, Pastor Zach made such a crazy statement as you're talking about Matthew 28 and him coming out of the grave. He said this, that the Sadducee spirit still wants to say that God has not conquered the grave,
mm-hmm,
right? And I think it was a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, he talked about our deepest fear.
Death, fear of death.
Brother. And I thought, how crazy is that? That the Sadducees reinforced your deepest fear by saying that God cannot conquer the grave, right?
This is the end.
The fact that he cannot, quote unquote, cannot conquer the grave means that he doesn't have power over it. And so you ought to, if there's anything you ought to be afraid of, it's the thing that the creator of the universe does not have power over, which in their minds was death. And so I thought it was such a cool, almost like run back around to what he had said a few weeks ago, that the deepest fear is death. And we have got to vanquish that. We got to get rid of that. Like,
yeah,
in the words of Pastor John, all the way up and all the way out, get rid of that belief in your heart, because he can conquer. He has conquered everything. If life is in his hand, then death means nothing to him. And if we can conquer that, then we will live a different life. And we won't let the Sadducean spirit come in and try and wreck what the Holy Spirit has done.
Absolutely.
Because that same spirit lives inside of you, my friends. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Amen. Amen. No, this is so good. So, so good. And it's I'm kind of catching why it's important that we understand this context and we understand Satan's counter narrative, because until we confront these tendencies in our own flesh, we will not be able to fulfill the Great Commission in a very, you know, powerful and life-giving way.
Sure.
It is important that I rest in the truth and truly believe it and speak it to myself.
Yes, sir.
That Jesus conquered the grave.
Yes, sir.
And so all of those things in me that need to die, they will die, and God will raise me to new life.
Sure.
He will give me, he has given me a heart of flesh.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not destined for a heart of stone. Because of Jesus, I have a heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. And when I see how that has played out in my life, how I have been crucified with Christ.
Well, that's what I was just thinking, Luke. That a heart of flesh can die. A heart of stone doesn't die. The fact that you have a heart of flesh actually means that there's a capability for death. Mm. And things can die in it. And it sounds so terrible in the church. It's like, no, we don't want anything to die. But if he has conquered the grave, and this is what I just thought as you were talking, right? If he's conquered the grave, then that means that the seed that has to go in the ground and die before it can bear fruit, that seed, he's conquered that too.
Yeah.
Because after, if we're saying he hasn't conquered death, then when that seed goes in the ground and dies, we don't actually know what's going to happen after the seed goes in the ground. Because he's conquered death and the grave as well, when anything dies, we assume it actually goes to him. He's got reign over it. Once we kill it, he actually has greater reign over it because he conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah. Amen.
So so allow certain things to die in you. Like show Pastor Zach, that was his main point at the end. Just show up. Let the doubt in you die. Yes, there is doubt right now. But can you imagine 6 months after the doubt?
Yeah.
They don't have doubt anymore.
Oh, no.
Thomas doesn't doubt anymore after he sticks his hand in there.
Yep.
But you've got to bring yourself to the table with your doubt.
Right.
And a heart of flesh. Oh, if you've got a heart of stone, then the doubt can sit in the heart of stone and be protected from the death that it's supposed to have in order to bear the fruit that it's supposed to bear in the end.
Amen. Amen. And wow, this is just so good.
I feel like we haven't gone in order.
So good.
All.
No.
We like went all over the place.
No. This is all so good. And if you're listening, I guarantee if you could be in this room with us, you'd be saying a lot of cool things. Yeah. Like, this is just awesome.
I just have one more thing I wanted to lean into.
No, keep going.
Is that good?
Going. All right. Yeah.
I wanted to go back to where Pastor Zach started, and then I swear I'm done, okay? He talked about unlearning in a certain capacity. He talked about unlearning things because the word is alive. And I keep going back to that, friends. Even in my Pentateuch class, I tell them all the time, listen to the word, right? Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so, yeah, we pick up our Bible and we read it through and stuff, and that's great. But there's something about just letting it ring into your spirit because the word is alive. Mm-hmm. That when a teaching or something like that is dead, you can almost take it in and not really have to do anything with it. You don't have to move it around. You don't have to find a space for it if it's dead. Like, the space is the grave. Like, put it in the grave and just be done with it. But I thought it was so profound, the concept that we are unlearning things that we've learned because the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
right? And so if the word is actually alive, we have got to allow ourselves to take a step back and learn, unlearn the places that we're supposed to unlearn and learn the real character of Jesus. Some Christians have not shown you a real picture of Jesus. Some pastors have not preached you a real picture of Jesus. And if he really is alive, I've got to learn new things about my wife every day. I've been married to her for 13 years almost.
Bless you.
And every, bless me, at you, okay. every day. I said to some ladies in the office today, I'm like, we work so different, me and my wife. And so the Spiritual Warfare Conference is coming up. She's speaking at it. Pray for her, please. She's doing a lot of like the background administration stuff. And so I'm doing some admin stuff too, but I'm like, dude, it is so different how we operate. And I've got to learn something new about her today. The person that I've been in covenant with.
Yeah.
The person that I've been sleeping in the same bed with for 13 years. Because she is alive, I've got to learn something new. If she were dead, I'd have nothing new to learn.
Right. The story's done.
It's over. And all I got to do is revisit old things that have already happened. But because Jesus is alive, there are new things happening every single day that you might think he works this way, that tomorrow he wants to show you, yes, I work that way and that way too. So unlearn the thing that you have been grasping so hard to that, like Pastor Zach preached a few weeks ago, like that your hand is tight up on because you've been fighting so hard on the mountain, on the soapbox, that your hand has tightened up on that thing. And the Lord says, are your hands open? Mm-hmm. Is your heart free?
Yeah.
Are you going to lay that thing down? Because I'm alive. I'm not a dead God that you cannot learn anything else about. You are still meant to learn something from me every single day.
Amen. Amen. And it's, you know, we were talking earlier about how when we deconstruct, like we form a God in our own image.
Yes, sir.
But the word tells us, I'm to be conformed. I'm supposed to the image
of
Christ.
That is so good, Luke. Yes, sir.
Wow. So, you know, we've basically covered everything. We have to wrap up. But Pastor Zach placed a very strong emphasis on the word but.
Yes, he did.
So you have this backdrop, this context of what Satan was trying to do, what Satan was doing, and then you get this word but. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. So in the face of all of this, they continued to Galilee. Mm-hmm. And there's just an encouragement that I want to give to us today is you're going to feel the onslaught of the enemy. You're going to feel that context that the enemy is trying to stir up around you. And this is why it's like we have to be grounded in truth.
Yes, sir.
Because if you go by feeling,
yes, sir,
you're not going to want to move.
Yes, sir.
But if you remember whose you are, that you belong to Jesus and Jesus has risen from the dead and appeared to you, you will press forward in the face, in that muck, in that emotion that the enemy has tried to stir up,
yes, sir,
around you.
Yeah. Jesus has got to be more alive to you than your feelings.
Amen.
If your emotions,
amen,
are more alive than Jesus, you will be ruled by those emotions.
Dangerous place.
Luke.
Yeah.
So Jesus has got to be the resurrected savior that can actually supersede all of that stuff. Because again, otherwise when we get to the fruit of the spirit, that is love and joy and peace, that is not emotional ruled stuff. I don't love because I'm ruled emotionally, because otherwise I would not love most people.
No.
Man, please. I don't have joy because I'm ruled emotionally.
If we're honest, we would all, that's how it would, sir, be for all of us.
And so Jesus has to be more alive and real to you than your emotions, even though you're feeling those jokers every day. Mm-hmm. That's why you've got to stay in the word, my friends. That's why you've got to stay in worship, because
amen,
otherwise your feelings will be more real than Jesus is in your life.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to wrap up, but there was a verse that stood out to me, and it just kind of, in a way, it just kind of sums up everything that we've been talking about today, even our, you know, our discussions. In verse 17, it says, when they saw him, this is when they get to the mountain. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this dichotomy of bringing everything to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to Jesus. I'm here to worship Jesus. Even in my doubt, I bring everything to Jesus.
Yes, sir. I today in chapel, and I'll leave it with this. As the Holy Spirit was talking to me about the kids and what was going on, Jackson Strodoff got up and gave a word, and it wrecked the entire room. And I just asked him to pray. The Holy Spirit told me to ask him to pray, and he prayed. And he started praying about us laying down the stuff that's no good for us and letting go of the stuff that's no good for us. And I'm telling you, my heart was like, okay, this is middle school chapel. And I got up and I felt like the Holy Spirit like leaned into that. And I always go back to this, like, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew also is translated as exchange. They that wait on the Lord will exchange their strength. And what I've found so often, again, is our hand is so tight around the thing that we were grasping on, whether it's like an emotion or a soapbox or whatever it is. We feel like it's ammunition. So we've grabbed on tight to it to fight with it. Even though it's not really, it actually isn't killing anybody. It's not doing anything to anybody besides getting on my nerves. Okay. But we have taken that and wanted to fight with it. And the Holy Spirit was so, so strong today in the middle school and then again in the high school chapel. You've got to exchange the thing in your hand for the better thing. My concept was like, listen, if you have a quarter and I tell you, give me your quarter, I'll give you $100. Who's not going to do that?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you're going to be mad that you forgot your quarter at home today.
Yeah.
Because there's an exchange happening all the time that if you can bring me a quarter and get $100 off of that, the Lord is offering that every day of your life. Right. Bring to me your brokenness. Bring to me your hurt. Bring to me your pain. Bring to me your achievements and your crowns
everything
that you've accomplished and lay it down. And even though you think it's going to die, I am the God that conquered the grave. And so if you let it die in your hands, you can't do it. You can't resurrect a thing.
No.
But if you let it die in mine, I promise you that there is some fruit that can come out on the other side of it that you never thought possible because I conquered the grave and continue to do it every single day.
Ugh.
Friends, take your quarter and exchange it. Even if you feel like you get nothing back, even if you feel like you get a nickel back, when the Lord gives you the nickel back, it is the best thing. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Do not be afraid to exchange your quarter for what the Lord has.
Yeah. Well, a nickel from the Lord is better than a quarter from me. So,
brother.
And that's the faith that we have to apply.
Oh, see, now you wanted one to take one more step, Luke, because then you hear about Pastor Zach's in Pastor Zach's sermon as he's talking about making a covenant with the world.
Yep.
Hell and the world make a covenant, and there's literally money exchanged back and forth.
Yes.
Never ends up being anything. It's actually just a blood libel. It's just blood money.
Mm-hmm.
It never actually ends up being fruit towards anything. Because of where it started.
Amen. Well, we could go all day.
Yes, we could. We're
and
done.
Part of me wants to keep going. We could do like a 3-hour podcast. I don't know.
No.
But no, it's good. If you don't mind, just bless us and we'll be on our way.
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that we would be transformed. We pray that we would not be afraid of death in any capacity because the God that we serve, the one that we are married to, the one that we are coming up to be in complete and absolute oneness and covenant with, that God has conquered death and hell and the grave. So Lord, we thank you for that today. We pray that you would change our minds and our hearts to live in that capacity, that we would break any covenant that we have with the world. In Jesus' name, I break every handshake that we have made with the world, that we've been thinking it's a covenant to pull people into the body of Christ, I break that and bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that we have a Savior whose voice we know and a stranger we will not follow. We know that sin is crouching outside of the door, but Lord, that you stand at the door and knock, and that if we would just open up and let you in, you'd come in and eat with us. Come in and eat with us. We honor your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
amen.
Luke. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you.
We look forward to having you again. This was absolutely awesome. And to those of you listening, keep having a good week, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And we'll worship together on Sunday.
Yep. It's going to be a breakdown.